As Christians, why should we even care for the environment? After all, didn't God make us masters of the earth to use it for our benefit? Aren't human beings of greater value than rivers, trees, or animals? Weren't the Israelites punished for worshiping the earth and that which is in it? Don't we believe in the second coming, when the earth will be consumed by fire, and then God Himself will create a new heaven and a new earth? Isn't our commission to save souls rather than save the planet? While these concerns have a degree of validity, perhaps we should start with a different question. As Christians, why shouldn't we care for the environment? After all, caring for the environment is biblical. There are four cornerstones that support this premise. First, God is the Creator, and we are made in His image. It all begins with the Creator God who brings into existence a physical world that He views with delight. Genesis records, "Then God looked over all that He had made, and He saw that it was very good." Genesis 1:31. God creates human beings in His image to reflect His character and priorities, and He then places them as stewards of His creation. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. This position of stewardship, however, is linked to a shared relationship. It is significant, for example, that God creates both animals and human beings from the dust of the ground, and grants to each the corresponding blessing to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1, verses 22 and 28. In essence, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. And we are therefore to be responsible trustees of the ecosystem in which we live. Second, God remains connected with and protective of His creation. God's continued relationship with and care for His creation are documented throughout Scripture. Take, for example, the flood, as recorded in Genesis chapters 6 through 9. With an impending global catastrophe, God sought to preserve the various species. He instructed Noah, "Bring into the ark of every animal and of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth." Genesis chapters 6 and 7. Even as the flood raged, Scripture says that God showed concern for Noah. He also showed concern for all the wild animals and livestock that were with Noah in the ark. So God sent a wind to sweep over the earth, and the waters began to go down. Genesis 8, verse 1. Furthermore, at the conclusion of the flood, God specifically included the animals in the covenant relationship. Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 states, "I now establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals." Scripture also makes it clear that God not only protects, but also provides for the needs of all His creatures, not merely human beings. Psalm 36, verse 6, "You, Lord, preserve both people and animals." Psalm 104, verses 27 through 28 state, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things." And Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Matthew 6, verse 26. In sum, the Bible makes it evident that environmental care is God's business. And if God protects, preserves, and provides for the care of all creatures, should we be any less caring? Third, God instructs human beings to care for the creation. At creation, Adam and Eve were commissioned to serve and preserve the planet and all that is in it. Genesis 2:15 declares, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it." This is a commission that has never been rescinded. God's instruction to the Israelites included kindness to animals. "If you see your fellow Israelites' donkey or ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it." Deuteronomy 22:4. Animals were also to receive benefit from their work. "Do not muzzle an ox," God directs, "while it is treading out the grain." Deuteronomy 25:4. Similarly, Solomon reminds us that the righteous care for the needs of their animals. Proverbs 12, verse 10. A classic example of God's regard for the animals can be found in reference to Balaam's treatment of his donkey. When Balaam, in frustration and then rage, repeatedly beats the donkey, the angel's first words to Balaam address his mistreatment of the animal. "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times?" Numbers 22, verse 32. God's instruction also includes a time of rest for the land and for the animals. This is to take place every 7 days on the Sabbath. "The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals." Exodus 20, verse 10. A sabbatical year was also instituted, in which the agrarian population was to allow the land to lie fallow. Consequently, there was to be a period every 7 years in which domestic animals were to rest and the land rejuvenate. Even in war, the environment was to be protected. Deuteronomy 20:19 says, "When you lay siege to a city for a long time, fighting against it to capture it, do not destroy its trees." Later, Jesus instructed his disciples to practice conservation. After miraculously feeding thousands, Jesus directed, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." John 6, verse 12. In all, convincing evidence that God expects human beings to care for the environment. And fourth, God is distressed when His creation is desecrated and exploited. God conveyed His concern through the prophet Jeremiah. "I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land. How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked, the animals and birds have perished. It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there is no one who cares." Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 12, verses 4 and 11. The prophet Ezekiel also expressed God's anguish. "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 and 18. God defined the consequences when the world that He has created is ravished and defiled. Woe to you who add house to house, till no space is left, and you live alone in the land. The Lord Almighty has declared in my hearing, surely the great houses will become desolate, the fine mansions left without occupants. In the next verse, God warned, 10 acres of vineyard will not produce even 6 gallons of wine. 10 baskets of seed will yield only 1 basket of grain. Isaiah 5 verses 8 through 10. God further affirmed that springs dry up, rivers become deserts, and fertile land toxic wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live there. Psalm 107, 33 and 34. In terms that seem to parallel current reports, God described the results of environmental exploitation. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. Isaiah 24, verses 4 through 6. Finally, in apocalyptic terms, the 24 elders seated around God's throne cry out, the nations are angry. Your wrath has come. The time has come for judging and for destroying those who destroy the earth. While the primary reference is to those who destroy human beings in this passage of Revelation 11, verse 18, God's concern, as we have noted, encompasses all of His creation. This concept is echoed in Habakkuk 2, verse 17. You cut down the forest of Lebanon. Now you will be cut down. You destroyed the wild animals, so now their terror will be yours. It is clear, God is a committed environmentalist, and we are to care for His creation. The problem is the disconnect. As an adolescent, I lived near a rainforest. Quite often our family would hike through the forest, and I would marvel at the towering trees wrapped with epiphytes, the birds that called from the canopy, and the translucent butterflies that fluttered in the occasional pools of sunlight. At night, I would listen as the logging trucks would lumber by, carrying the massive logs to port, trees that had been growing for centuries. And I felt a certain sadness. I also remember, though, at the time, my sense of pride as I completed the construction of a wall-to-wall desk for my bedroom, made from a single slab of mahogany. A disconnect. Not so long ago, I spotted a late model, zero emissions car with a Go Green sticker displayed on the bumper in a steakhouse parking lot. Another disconnect. I recently visited a school where teachers talked about global warming and the ozone layer, where students made posters to save the whales and created murals on protecting our planet. A school that used disposable, non-biodegradable plates and utensils, where lights were left on and faucets running, and where trash was tossed into a single receptacle. Yet another disconnect. if God is an environmentalist? What are the implications? What are we to do as Christians? First, become informed. Identify causes of the present situation and highlight potential solutions, particularly from a Christian perspective. The Bible, for example, identifies the underlying cause of the environmental crisis. Beware! Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Luke 12, verse 15. James 5, verse 5 adds, "You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves as in a day of feasting." The prophet Hosea points to the result of this self-centered life. "This is why your land is in mourning, and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are disappearing. Don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. My complaint is with you." Hosea 4, verses 3 through 4. In essence, the ecological crisis in which air and water are polluted, forest and wildlife plundered, and natural resources exploited is rooted in our self-centered greed and our refusal to practice responsible stewardship. Scripture also points to the solution. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12:31. We love our global neighbors by leaving them a decent place in which to live. The goal is to raise our own spiritual consciousness and deepen our commitment to serve as custodians and guardians of our planet. This takes place when we recognize God as designer, creator, and sustainer of the natural world. When we apply biblical principles of Christian morality, integrity, and ethical behavior to all aspects of life, including the environment. And when we develop stewardship and service attitudes toward life, health, and Earth's environment. Second, be an example of environmental stewardship. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and restore. Turn off the water while you brush your teeth, shave, or soap up. Don't waste food. Plant a tree, maybe several of them. Compost your organic trash, and then grow a garden. Help clean up a street, park, or stream. Participate in, or initiate, a program to recycle glass, paper, and plastic. Switch to energy-efficient light bulbs. Carry your own bag to the grocery store. Walk, ride a bicycle, and use public transport when you can. Buy local. Harvest rainwater. Harness wind or solar power. Actually, one of the most important contributions that you can make to the ecosystem is to become a vegetarian. This is not just about cruelty to animals. A recent Loma Linda University study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that a plant-based diet results in nearly a third less greenhouse gas emissions than a diet with animal products. Furthermore, according to the Water Education Foundation, it takes 2,464 gallons, nearly 10,000 liters, of water to produce 1 pound, approximately half a kilogram, of beef. By contrast, only 25 gallons, 100 liters of water, are needed to produce a pound of wheat. Third, educate others in environmental literacy. Convey these environmental concerns and priorities to those around you in an engaging way, perhaps through art, drama, or technology, using models and metaphors. If you can do so, conduct some environmental research, providing an empirical base for strategic decisions. In essence, we are to become change agents to stop the selfish exploitation of Earth's resources and the reckless degradation of the environment, which results in widespread suffering, environmental disarray, and the threat of climate change. We are to rein in unbridled consumption and irresponsible consumerism, to halt the depletion of non-renewable resources and the pollution threatening the Earth's ecosystems. Our goal should be the sustainable development of resources, meeting human needs while fulfilling our mandate to care for the environment. In essence, we must manage Earth's resources faithfully. God envisions an ecological future. It is a future, however, that depends on our stewardship. If my people, who are called by my name, will turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. In consequence, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. The burning sand will become a pond, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Isaiah 35, verses 1, 2, and 7. In this thriving ecosystem, God once again establishes a covenant of environmental stewardship. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. Hosea 2, verse 18. And the prophet Isaiah adds, they will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Chapter 11, verse 9. What then is needed? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We measure our stewardship by healthy ecosystems, sustainable development, and responsible consumption. Faithful stewards. That's you and I. So envision the future and act now.